Hey everybody, Mark Ashton with your March 15th edition of Project 4-4. Mark Ashton, lead pastor of Christ Community Church, also sometimes known as the King of Rock and Roll. Well, not really, but I just wanted to say that today. I've always wanted to be known as the King of Rock and Roll. But I'm not. Today I am just your presenter of the Daily Accelerator. And we were in Joshua 22, 23, and 24 today. Now, the passage that you read today recounted for us the end of the wars and the conquest, terminated officially by the demobilization of the army, the release of the troops for the 2.5 tribes who had chosen to settle their families on the other side of the Jordan. Whew, this has been a long battle in Israel's history, and aren't you glad that this chapter of their history is done? Now, first, I want to draw your attention to the fact that for a long time, probably for about 7 years, these soldiers from the other side of the Jordan River had been fighting and serving without complaint among their brothers for a long, long time. 7 years is a long time to be almost continuously absent from your home and continuously absent from your family. But there's no record anywhere in the book of Joshua of these people rebelling or even complaining about the lot that they had drawn. I'm pointing this out because I think that it would be possible, in light of several references that we've already noted in the book of Joshua, to conclude that because these Israelites, except for Caleb, didn't completely drive out the Canaanites, Caleb's the only exception to that, because the Israelites didn't drive out the Canaanites absolutely completely from their turf, well, somehow that they were disobedient or they were a bunch of slackers. But the truth is that lots of generations of Israel were disobedient. This one was really pretty good. They were pretty remarkable in how strong they were and in how strongly they followed God for all of these years. They were devout, obedient, non-complaining, persevering, loyal followers of God. The whole book of Joshua doesn't even contain one incident of mass rebellion against God. Their faith in God was strong. They believed enormous things from God. They experienced, because of their obedience, a wonderful blessing from His hand. This is what training in the wilderness for 40 years will do. It'll bolster your faith and make you confident for the battles that God is going to bring your way. As a matter of fact, this group of people who followed Joshua might be considered the single most godly group of people that we see anywhere in the history of the Bible. It's a pretty remarkable thing to think about, and we say goodbye to this generation today. Well, the next indication of the kind of people that we're dealing with is seen in the action taken by the 2.5 tribes that crossed over the Jordan River, that they say, we want to memorialize our oneness with our brothers by setting up this cool memorial on the east side of the Jordan River so that when our kids ask us, hey, what's that memorial there for? They can say we're united with the people on the other side and we work with them together to take over this land. Well, the third indicator of the passion of Israel is the response of the other tribes on the other side of the river. Because ironically, their high level of spirituality was to be found in the adverse and immediate reaction of those 9.5 tribes, when they discovered that their compatriots had built what seemed to them an unauthorized and rebellious altar on the other side of the river. They had just demobilized after 47 years of military discipline and life, and because they believed that the honor of the Lord was at stake, they immediately sounded the alarm, formed marching ranks, and struck out to fight yet another battle. There was no difficulty at all in raising a national alarm and fielding an army even against their own brothers. Why? To avenge a slight against the honor of God who they served. Now that's passion. I mean, we've never been at war ourselves for 7 years to defend the honor of God. We haven't been called to leave the comforts of home for 7 years straight. We haven't been called upon to do much of anything, but when God's honor is impugned in our society, when He's mocked and He's ridiculed and slandered in our very presence, we're not often seen as people that are very ready to be jealous for His honor and to be zealous for His glory, to defend His honor. These people were zealous. They were jealous for God's glory. Well, the next lesson we glean from the misunderstanding that developed over the altar of memorial to which the 2.5 tribes built at Gelioth has to do with the ease with which the misunderstandings and divisions are created within the body of Christ or the family of God. When the word got out that the altar had been built at Gelioth, the Israelites, whose inheritance was west of the Jordan River, immediately jumped to a conclusion that the people on the east side of the Jordan River were doing something funky. They were up to something. They were dishonoring God. They didn't send messengers to inquire, hey, what's up with the altar? They didn't try and find things out. They just mobilized an army to go against them. Now, fortunately, they sent Phinehas ahead of the troops, and Phinehas was able to ask some questions and discern before an all-out battle broke out. But it highlights the importance in a conflict situation of at least finding out what were the motivations behind the other people and what were they trying to do. If you're in the midst of a conflict, the best thing to do is to assume the best of the other person. And if something looks sneaky or suspicious, go and talk to them and ask them what kind of motivation is behind their behavior. Well, moving on to Joshua 23 and 24, Joshua reminds them over and over of what the Lord has done. There's one expression in chapter 23 that I just love, and I want you to remember it because it encapsulates a powerful principle of God's word. The principle is this: one of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you. One of you routes 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you. All through Scripture, this wonderful principle is demonstrated. Friends, when we stand on the word and the promise of God, even if we stand completely alone, we need to fear no enemy. We are in control, and we will triumph. It is evident from this passage that one thing does concern Joshua here, and it's the lingering presence of those other nations. 7 times he mentions them, recalling the victories that God has given over them, promising that God will push the remnants out of the land, and warning Israel that the consequences of mixing in with them and adopting their values and ways can be very detrimental to the people of Israel. The great danger to Israel, and especially to the next generation who wouldn't have lived through the conquest and the years in the desert, well, the great danger would be of compromise and abandoning the ways of God in the wake of taking over the new territory. And what do you know? Before long, that's exactly what happened. The intermarrying began, the compromises were given. What started as a few steps down a slippery slope quickly became a fast downhill slide. But it didn't have to happen that way. In fact, in chapter 23, Joshua gives us a threefold formula to defend against this kind of backsliding. And if they would have just followed it, they could have. The first antidote is this: obey the word of God. Do what God tells you to do. Focus our lives on learning and obeying God's word will always be a centerpiece in the strategy for spiritual success. The second antidote to spiritual failure that Joshua mentions is association. Joshua actually says, do not associate with the nations that remain among you. Because when you create alliances that are intermingled with the enemies of God, you can't help but be influenced as the people of Israel were. The third great safeguard against apostasy is the greatest of all. It's this: be very careful to love the Lord your God. The most important commandment of all, Jesus said it, was to love the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. And he was just repeating what Moses had said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Joshua knew this very well. Well, Joshua warned the people that if they failed in these things, apostasy would follow and would bring its own set of consequences. The first consequence of apostasy, according to Joshua, is defeat. The Lord your God will no longer drive those nations before you. Do you hear my cell phone ring? If you do, don't let it bother you. Just ignore it, because I am. And I hope you enjoy the rest of this accelerator. All right, there, it's gone. Next, he said that backsliding would bring great pain as the nations would then become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eyes. And finally, backsliding would bring disgrace and later ruin as the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land that he has given you. That's a lot. Disgrace, defeat, and pain. And God wants you to avoid all of that. So Joshua gets them to buy into the idea that they have to follow the Lord, but he uses kind of reverse psychology on them. Did you notice that? You can't follow the Lord under your own power, he says. You don't want to fail when the Lord is a jealous God, and if you say you're going to follow him and you don't, it's bad news. And then finally they say, we're witnesses against ourselves. He says, you are witnesses against yourself. Until they're worked up into a fever where they say, we will follow the Lord, we will follow the Lord. And the hope is, of course, with that high degree of commitment from the highest leaders in the land, that they will not fail and they'll follow the Lord. And they do for a little while. They do for a little while. It was a moment that they would never forget, the people who were alive at that time. And Joshua made a monument that they would never forget. But the next generation, things were very different. And we'll start to hear about that as we read in the book of Judges, beginning tomorrow. May your life be a monument to the Lord. May you be marked by that generation that said yes to God and gave themselves to his purposes unflinchingly, yelling out, we will serve the Lord regardless of the consequences. May God's blessings rest on you this day.